Okay, hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 3rd of August 2009. Mm-hmm. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Okay, I'm Stephen Hackworth, I'm from Gillingham in Kent, and I'm 55.
And how are you doing today, Stephen?
Fine, thank you, yep.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
It was on a radio programme, LBC Radio.
And what actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
Well, I've always been a bit of an extrovert. I'm a former Butlin's Redcoat. And I just thought to myself, well, let's have a go. Put my name forward. You never know, you might get picked.
And when you say you're quite an extrovert, in what sense?
Well, I'm very outgoing. I'm not frightened to say what I think. Always laughing and joking about, you know, so I consider myself extrovert.
And what are you planning on doing today with your hour?
I'm just standing up there and I'm going to have some balloons attached to me and advertising, basically. It's advertising a private hire and courier company called the King Group, who I used to work for.
And why did you decide to use them?
Well, I was looking for something to do, really. I was just going to stand up there and tell jokes, and then there was restriction on the kind of jokes I can tell, because I do a bit of comedy, stand-up comedy as well. So I thought, best not maybe to do that. So they come to me and said, why don't you wear some things for us? So I said, okay, I will. So that's how I did it.
And what is this company?
It's a private hire and courier company. They are one of the largest in London.
Okay.
There's, I think, something like 400 drivers or something they've got. Yeah. Not the largest, but one of the largest.
Yeah. And so how exactly are you constructing this hour?
Well, as I say, I'm going to go up there with the balloons attached to me, have a bit of rapport with the people that are standing there, and release the balloons. Five, 10 minutes, start releasing the balloons one at a time as before I leave. That's all, really.
And can I ask you a little bit about yourself?
Yep.
What do you do? Where do you live?
Well, I live in Gillingham in Kent. I'm currently unemployed. I'm not working. That's it, really. Hobbies, I don't mind doing a bit of gardening, entertaining, that's about it really.
And where were you brought up?
In London, South London, Peckham. Yep, from when I was born in East Dulwich, and then we lived in Peckham till I was about 13, then we moved to Dulwich, West Dulwich, and say currently I live in Gillingham.
And what's your relationship with London like?
Oh, good. It's not as London isn't as good as it used to be, because I'm 55 years of age, so things have changed a bit. There's a bit more sort of violence and that sort of thing on the streets now to what there was, and I don't think neighbours are as friendly as they used to be. What were the flats and things they built? You know, you don't see your neighbours in London much. So people are not quite as friendly as they used to be. Whereas I find living out down in Kent, it's stepping back a little bit in time and. Life's a lot slower and the people are more friendly. People tend to give way to you more on the road and all that sort of thing. You know, it's a different lifestyle.
So would you always opt for that rather than coming back to London?
I would now, yeah. As I'm getting older, you know, the rat race. I don't want to really be... No, it's quite nice then in Kent. I still love London, of course I do, but it's where I was born and brought up. But I like it living down there.
And what do you think this art project has brought to London?
That's a difficult question. What has it brought to London? Well, it's something that's never been done before, that's for sure. Anthony Gormley's a great artist, and I don't actually follow his work, but I know of Anthony Gormley, and I know he is a very good artist, but it's something different. That's what it's brought to London. It's something that's never, I don't think it's ever been done before anywhere, I don't think in the world. So it's great, you know, for London.
And just to go back to your hour, like who are, I know you're doing it for this company, but are you wanting to get anything particular out of this experience?
No, not really. No, I'm not looking for fame and fortune or anything like that. I mean, no, not really. No, it's just a personal thing. You know, there'd be lots of people watching me on the internet. There's a few people supporting here. No, not looking for fame and fortune or anything like that. No.
And is there anybody in particular with you today?
No, only a couple of guys from the King Group and a couple of friends are coming up at 6 o'clock. They should be here.
Okay. And have you got family?
Yes, I've got two daughters, age 24 and nearly 22. I brought them up on my own from age, they were age 6 and 4. And I sort of raised them on my own. My wife left me, and so that was it. Yeah, two daughters.
And how has that shaped you, do you think, as a person?
Well, it's made me a stronger person, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And do you still live with your daughters?
Yes, they still live with me, yep, in Gillingham, in Kent, yep.
And what do they, well, they obviously mean a lot to you.
Yeah, of course they do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And future-wise, are you wanting to stay in your job at the moment?
I'm not working at the moment, I did say that to you. Yeah. I'm not working, so no.
Okay.
So no, the answer to that question is...
And, I mean, as art goes, do you flow?
To be honest, not really. I like some art, you know, but I'm more of a stage sort of art. That's the kind of art I like. I do a bit of stand-up comedy as well, I've done. So I used to be a red coat at Butlins. So I'm a bit arty in that way, you know, performing arts as opposed to art on the wall or on a plinth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you see this hour as a performance?
Yes, it is in a way. It is a performance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you have quite a lot of experience in performing?
I was a red coat at Butlins for 2 years, and then on and off over the years, I've done stand-up comedy, you know, on and off. I haven't done anything for a couple of years now, but I have done in the past, you know.
And what was it that initially got you into that?
I don't know, I've always been funny as a kid. I've always, you know, been the centre of attraction in the playground, making everybody laugh, you know, standing around me. Fat boy, see, that's the thing, fat boy syndrome. You find a lot of comedians that are fat, they'll always tell you that that's how they came to make everybody laugh. They don't laugh at you then, when you're a kid, you know.
Yeah.
You make them laugh as opposed to them laughing at you. They're all your friends then, you see. So I think that's what it was. Les Dawson used to say that, and
And when you say you've done stand-up comedy, is this in front of audiences?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I won a big talent show once down in Devon, a holiday camp, and I was asked to turn professional then, but unfortunately, because I had the two girls, at that time they were probably 12 and 10 or something like that, I wasn't able to follow it. But I was offered the chance to turn professional. Some agents approached me, but unfortunately I couldn't, because I couldn't leave the kids on their own. So you get a chance in life, and that was mine, I think. I've had it again since.
And what kind of material would you use?
Well, I mean, it's all changed, isn't it? Now, when I won that talent show, that was, it must have been 10, 11 years ago, about 11 years ago, I think. Things have changed now because a lot of sort of the material that I would do is not really accepted. You know, it's sexist. Some of it was, you know, not all of it. I can do material without being sexist, but... there's so much now you can't talk about, you know, like mother-in-laws, even a mother-in-law joke, you know, they say it's sexist, you can't say it, you know, and that's, to me, that's silly. I never really tell racist jokes, never been a racist, I'm not racist, but say there's a lot now that you can't do anyway, so you have to sort of work your material around that.
And which comedians do you follow?
I think the one that inspired me is somebody you've probably never even heard of, is Max Miller. Have you heard of Max Miller?
No.
No, right. Very old comedian. I mean, he was old when I was a kid, but I always remember when I used to babysit for my sister, when I was about 10 or 11, I'd look after her kids for her. She went out in the evening, and she had an LP, or a couple of LPs of Max Miller, and I used to listen to him over and over again and learn his material and learn how to tell it, his timing, all that sort of thing, you know? And now I look back on that, I think it was him that inspired me to do what I do, really. Somebody called Max Miller, so you've probably never even heard of him, but you have to look him up on the internet, you'll see all about him. He's a very famous comedian.
Is he English?
Oh, he's English, yeah, right, Cockney boy.
And how does it, well, did it make you feel when you're standing up there making however many people?
Depends, laugh? When you first go on, you're always nervous, you know. When I was at Butlins, I used to introduce Bob Monkhouse sometimes when he was there. And even he said to me, you know, he said, yeah, you do, your mouth dries up, totally dries up before you go on stage, and once you get on there, he said, if you didn't do that, it wouldn't be right, You know, if you, you didn't feel nervous, it wouldn't be right. That's coming from a, one of the top comedians in this country, you know, Bob Bunkhouse. And it's true, you know, you do. And I'd no doubt when I go on the plinth, I'll have a dry mouth when I first get up there. I'll have to have a couple of little drinks of water or something. But once you get your when you're doing comedy, once you get your first laugh, that helps a lot. If your first joke falls flat, so you've really got to go out and punch them with something, you know, really hit them with a good joke, and then you get your first laugh, that helps you. And the audience is on your side. Then if you don't get a laugh, then you're in trouble.
And that's hilarious. Did you have more kind of male fans or female fans or
both? Really?
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say fans, but I mean well, in the audience, but both, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So ultimately, well, with this hour, are you wanting to engage with the public?
I would if there's enough people there. I'll have a little chat with them, you know, and say, where are you from and how long you've been over here? Do you like London? But I don't know how many people's going to be here. It's a bit early in the morning, isn't it? I don't know. Mostly, I would imagine, not many tourists around. They'll still be in bed or having their breakfast. There'll be a lot of people going to work, to and from work, and the odd one will stop, I suppose, and never look up. I'm not expecting a big audience. If it was 11 o'clock in the morning, then yes, it would have been a bit different.
Yeah.
But I'm not expecting a big audience.
Yeah. What would you say is important in your life at the moment?
Not my girls, two daughters. My health, I suppose, you know. That's it, really. That's it.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. Just thank you for allowing me to go up onto the plinth, really, for this chance. So, what was there, 27 people applied or something? And I'm just one of those lucky ones to be chosen.
Yeah.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, go down in history. It's nice to be a part of history, really. So, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.